everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. Roger and I are coming at you at the first Monday of the month, so you get us both.
Happy April Fool's Day.
Happy April Fool's Day. Roger, recently you had a sick kid, right? What was going on there?
Yeah, I was out earlier this week. I have had the misfortune of my son, my son Henry, 14 months old, his first ear infection. So that's been a lot of fun. But the Tylenol works miracles because within an hour of that, he was up dunking on his little Tykes basketball over and over again until he was tired again. So that's, we get a little reprieve there, but it's been a rough couple of days.
I think you must have a record that he went 14 months without an ear infection.
That's what everyone keeps telling me. They're like, really? This is his first one? I think even the doctor was a little bit surprised.
Yeah, that's crazy. But good for him that he was dunking already. He's ready for March Madness.
Well, you know, speaking of March Madness, you know, people know we record a little bit in advance. Today is the first day, and as a Kentuckian, this is practically a holiday for me. I broke out a Kentucky basketball tie with the state of Kentucky basketballs and bourbon barrels. If you had horses and fried chicken, that would be everything Kentucky has to offer.
Oh, my gosh. Well, go sports. That's great.
Go Cats. I'm sure when this comes out, I'll be celebrating a Final Four appearance. Please nobody call me out on that if it doesn't happen.
That's fun. Oh, I have to share. I have had kind of some sick kid experience myself recently, kind of. Oh. So I have to tell you that my daughter, Ellie, has been complaining about headaches for a while, like frequently. And honestly, I kind of wonder, like, are they just really conveniently timed where she can, like, use a headache to get out of things?
And they're doing that.
Yeah, well, I bet you have. So her teachers and her school nurses were getting really concerned, though. And so we ended up having to put her on some like preventative headache medicine, only to find out this week she was so tired. And my husband finally got to the bottom of it. Homegirl has been laying in her bed with a flashlight at night reading, staying up half the night, and then gets a headache when she has to stay awake all day. She's sleep deprived.
At least she's reading. At least she's not, you know, sneaking out and doing something. It's something that's productive.
Yeah, I mean, she's not. If she were sneaking out, we'd have a much bigger problem.
You know, maybe she's sneaking out selling Girl Scout cookies. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? I'd be fine with it, probably. Like, depending on where she's selling, I guess.
Hit your car. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've got to earn that troop money. Well, Roger, the agencies, you played the ultimate April Fool's Day joke on us this year. As you know, everybody thought that we were going to need our public files on our bank website, and then less than 2 weeks until the deadline.
Surprise, surprise. April Fools. It happens. Well, it was been anymore. A huge controversy on the hotline, too. We've been getting questions constantly about it. You know, is it going to affect it? Is it not? I mean, our answer for the longest time had to be April fun. When it comes, you got to be ready. It's not an April Fool's joke. I use that line quite a bit, so I'm glad we can use it here. But, and the regulators just surprised us out of nowhere and called it off. I mean, you still want to keep it in the back of your mind. It's not on hold. It's still coming. It's just delayed until, you know, January 1st, 2026. So, but for now, the facility-based assessment area parts in the rule and the public file requirements are on hold.
Yeah, well, but April 1 is still an important date for the public file. As we know, we still need to make sure our public files are updated every year by April 1, even if they're not hanging out on our website. Though, I think some banks are just leaving it up because it's
there's really no harm in doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, so what were some questions you were getting about
that? Well, people were just generally confused about, you know, there was a lawsuit filed. Does that mean that it's on hold? Well, the filing of a lawsuit does not mean that it's on hold. You have to win what's called an injunction before anything else is on hold. I know there's a few other rules working their way through the system where that is the case, but that was not the case here. But still, I might look a little bit foolish now that we're having to retract everything and say, nope, sorry, you can put that website part on hold. I guess I need to be clear that we're just talking about the website aspects of the public file requirements.
Yeah, April Fools. I was surprised when I was looking through this with my banks. You know, the public file includes a list of things that have to be in it, right? And then there's also a little caveat that's like, or, you know, anything else you want to include, you can. And I really thought wrongly that with the public file being on the website and so much more visible to the public now, that banks would maybe take that extra stuff out. And I actually saw the opposite. I've heard of a lot of banks that kind of beefed up their public file before they put it on their website.
What sort of things have you seen them beef it up with?
Yeah, so most commonly banks that maybe had areas of their assessment area that they couldn't quite reach, or maybe certain demographics that they were struggling to service, they went through and basically put some documentation in their public file of the efforts they had taken to get to those folks, which I'm sure is a good thing. Generally, though, my advice is always don't, that kind of stuff, like, don't do more than you have to. Now you've got this opportunity to get it wrong.
Seems like that's just asking for trouble, right?
Yeah, that's generally my approach, which granted, I come from the perspective of a former auditor, right? So I think the public file too is something that's generally only asked for by auditors and examiners in training. So it's easy, like it's really easy pickings to make an exception there, even though, I mean, impacts wise, there is.
It seems like this is the only field too where you're being punished for going above and beyond, right? Any other place would probably applaud you doing that, but here are their regulators, auditors, they're checking it. They're checking everything that you put out.
Yep. Yeah. So if it's not quite right, you'll probably get dinged. The other thing that I heard a lot of that really made me laugh is banks that were hesitant to put the public file on their website because they didn't want the information to be public.
It's in the title, public file.
It's in the title. It's always been public. Even if no one has ever truly requested it, it has always been public, guys. So that made me laugh. But I personally, I'm glad to see that this has been pushed. I think that it's just easier when everything has the same deadline instead of some stuff.
And it was a 1,500-page final rule. I mean, it got released not just a few months ago. They're expecting, you know, compliance date for some of these things by April. I mean, that was a little over the top. It's a lot to digest. Yeah, of course, on the hotline, as soon as it came out, I mean, the next day we're getting questions about it. Like, page 1250, are you aware of, you know, items 1, 2, and 3? So that they keep us on our toes there.
I'm sure, yeah, 12 hours after. Right, right. The summary yet? I bet you were on it, though. One last question about the public file, though. So 2026 rolls around. What's the biggest change, aside from putting it on the website, that banks will experience?
Well, I mean, so I guess with the part that was delayed, there's the facility-based assessment area aspects of the final rule. But for most banks other than large banks, that's going to be largely the same. It's already largely the same standards, but it's a pretty significant overhaul, modernization of the final rule. Are you getting a lot of questions about it on the VCO side?
Not so much there. We're trying to focus more on change management processes, I'd say, and make sure that we just have really strong controls within the compliance management systems, without digging too far into that nitty gritty just yet, especially because, like, with the asset threshold changes, and the years you'll have to look at, but those years haven't happened yet, right? So it's hard for banks to really specifically determine where they'll even fall within.
Well, banks should keep an eye out. I mean, sometimes we get questions about rules going into effect a week later, and like, how do I get started on this? Well, this is one you do not want to wait on.
Yep, agree.
Well, one other thing people have not been happy with recently is beneficial ownership, or maybe just dreading it. I don't know if they're unhappy, because right now it's really not affecting the banks too much, but it is going to be in the near future. So I guess just a little background here, as you know, there's kind of three rules that have come out that relate to beneficial ownership. So there was what we call the reporting rule, and this sets up the requirement for business entities to register their beneficial ownership information with FinCEN. So that alone's not putting any burden on the bank. And then the access rule came out. And this is going to dictate who and when you can find access to this information with FinCEN. So hopefully in the very near future, banks will be able to access this information to get or verify the information they're getting from their customers. And one thing we get asked about quite a bit on hotline is, all right, when are we going to be able to get into FinCEN? When are we going to be able to access this? So it's like a phased approach. So they started it in February with certain law enforcement agencies, and they're going to slowly get to banks. Banks are going to be the last ones to get access. And there's not a specific date out for that yet, but probably we're looking at towards the end of the year. With these sort of things, it's probably safer to bet on slower rather than faster. But and the third component of this is in the very near future, they'll be at what they're calling the conforming rule. So they'll update BSA and CDD requirements with this beneficial ownership information. Are you you seeing much of that, Ashton?
So my banks in general know that BSA is not my strong point, and I think they find other resources for BSA things. But I know we have gotten questions, and that was a really good overview, Roger. For anyone who wants more details, I do suggest you listen back to our one of our December episodes with Edward Zitzke. He gave a really in-depth overview of this, and it was a great episode. But yeah, in general, my banks haven't asked me much about it. Yeah. That might be personal.
Okay, and right now, what banks really need to know is that it's business as usual. Things have not changed for your banks. It's your business entity customers that are having to do this. And I guess I can also note, too, that there has been another lawsuit filed in this case. But again, that does not mean there is any delay to this. There is no injunction to the rule at this time. So keep beneficial ownership in mind. But I think you're still a few months away from anything really changing on this.
I'm curious, on that, Roger, when people chatted in with questions about beneficial ownership, are they getting questions from their customers?
Yeah, I mean, it comes up, really, they're trying to ask, like, what do we need to do? Should we be asking our customers if they've done this for FinCEN? And that's really not on the bank to do. They're not the ones that are intended to police this. But, I mean, it's your prerogative if you want to do that to mitigate maybe future BSA risk. But adding that extra step as of right now is unnecessary, but there's some positive arguments for doing it.
Yeah, so there's more work. Great.
There's just more, yeah, they're always adding more work for us to do, and it keeps us busy.
Sounds awesome. Well, let's talk for a minute about some episodes we have coming up. So as everyone knows, we post an episode or publish an episode every Monday. There are four more Mondays in April, if I counted right. So coming up, I'm really excited about our episodes. We have one that's talking about servant leadership. And specifically into the bank aspect. So we don't get into those sort of soft topics, if you will, very often. And that one was so interesting to me.
What sort of things did you get into with servant leadership? Can you, what is servant leadership, I guess?
So Matthew Largent is going to talk about that, and I don't want to give too much away. But my biggest takeaway from him that I thought was so fascinating is he pointed out that the true leader isn't always like the person who's the best and brightest at their job, right? Like it's the person that has the actual personality skills and the ability to lead people. So maybe that's not the person who's like, I don't know, let's pick on you, Roger. So let's say you are the best CA attorney there is, and I have no personal opinion on this, but that wouldn't necessarily mean that you should lead the CA attorneys, right? Because maybe, I don't know, maybe your leadership skills are just garbage. So hypothetically, of course. So anyway, that was a really interesting takeaway. And he talked about how really, you know, you have to serve the folks that you're leading and really be their advocate. And he was just a great speaker. That's a really good episode to watch out for.
Really, that could apply to, you know, anyone out there, not just banks. So share that episode with your friends and family. I think anyone could get a takeaway from that.
Exactly. I know my grandma listens every Monday, so she'll enjoy it. Then we also have Helen Touchton coming to talk about advice for handling BSA audits. And Helen is super fun. I've known her for a while. And she's British. So just listening to her speak with her accent is always enjoyable, but plus she has really great takeaways.
I have my series set to a British woman, so I can agree that.
Say British that again.
I have my phone, my Siri. You know, you can set the accent, British woman accent. So
great, that's great, Roger. For a minute, I didn't clearly hear you at first, so I thought you were trying to say your wife was British, but close. Just your,
well, pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, Helen was great. And then we talked with Tian Bowie, who talked about open banking and kind of a foreshadowing 1033. Roger, what is 1033? Do you know?
Well, I've recently had to do a little bit of deep dive on some things, and 1033 was included in this. So it's broadly about the concept of open banking. So that's the process of, banks giving customers and third parties, easy access to their financial data. And, right now it's just a proposed rule. The CFPB has indicated that there's going to be a final rule issued probably this fall. So it's definitely something to keep in mind on. It'll be a big change to privacy in general. It's kind of the approach you see in the EU and a lot of other places internationally. But what you really need to know is that, banks under this rule, they are data providers. And, data providers have certain covered data, which is transaction information, account terms and conditions, your, account balance and bills. And under this rule, you're going to have to get free access to consumers and their authorized third parties. So, a lot of customers out there are using third parties for budgeting, different things like that. And those will be parts that you'll have to find a way to give access to through secure means, online banking. Yeah. So I think right now in the market, you'll see a lot of like screen scraping, which is a reference to like giving your login credentials to a third party, and then they can get into your account and view that information. Well, that will be banned under this rule. You'll have to have a way for these third parties that consumers work with to get access to information consumers want to give.
Okay, well, I didn't realize that screen scraping thing. So that's good, because that has always made me nervous, giving passwords out. That seems, not that I would do this, of course, but I know some folks will use the same password for and log in for everything. So giving one person access to your password might be giving them access to a lot of things unintentionally.
And if more parties have it, there's more risk that one of them has a data breach and you get locked into that. And data breaches are just more and more common nowadays.
Yeah, for sure.
So that'll be an interesting conversation. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's good. Tan is literally the nicest person in the world. So he is great to talk to. And then finally, our last Monday in April will be Darby Sanders. And I'll be honest, I let this conversation get way off track from where we initially thought we would go, because Darby introduced this concept to me of mobile banking. And it's not like banking on your phone, it's actually like a mobile branch. Like her bank is in the process of putting together this mobile branch, which is like a branch in an RV that can drive around and get to rural neighborhoods or areas, or maybe majority minority areas where they don't have a physical presence, or I don't know, football games, just random things that they can just drive their branch around.
Well, my mind's grown crazy here with what that must entail. I mean, I'm trying to think of what branch signage you might need on your RV, or I guess CRA. There's a lot of different things you'd have to consider with using an RV for banking.
Yeah, I didn't even think of signage. I went to CRA and security and just totally derailed the conversation, which was great. The conversation was so fascinating to me because it was the first time I'd heard of this mobile branch. But it has an ITM in it, and obviously they'll have to have, I think she said, like at least 2 employees at a time.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but will it be people like walking into the RV and doing banking, or is it going to be like an ice cream truck and you walk up and you can?
I didn't actually ask that question. Yeah. So now I have regrets.
Well, now they need 2 RVs so they can try out these different models.
I know. Yeah. Like food truck style.
Come exactly. Yeah.
Take a number. Yeah. I mean, I imagine it would have to be like you come in just from like the privacy aspect, but
right,
I don't know. Yeah.
Just can't stand and beat back while this person banks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just wild to me. I feel like I've had this rant before. Redlining is becoming more and more prominent, and lots of banks are kind of on maybe the outskirts of a county that has majority minority tracks pretty far from their branches, but still well within their county. And it might not make sense for them to open a brick and mortar branch, but to have this mobile option is kind of life-changing. So,
well, in the future, we might see bank RVs just driving all around town, maybe even bank drones eventually.
Maybe they'll get a sound like an ice cream truck. You'll hear their sound.
Drone banking, we should really patent that. That sounds like a great idea.
I think, yeah, that's our retirement plan, Roger.
Good. All right. Well, any other topics to preview?
I don't think so. I think that'll take us through April. I almost wonder if I miscounted. Does April have 5 Mondays total? That feels weird.
You're asking the wrong person. I'm living life day by day with a toddler.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Well, I guess that'll do it for us today. And just want to reiterate the request we always make for new guests. Please reach out if you'd like to speak to one of us. I'm looking forward to really getting out there and talking with our guests and putting together some episodes. And if anyone has any requests for topics for these first of the month episodes, please feel free to reach out. And that's Banking Matters.